So I want to introduce my first speaker is Anne Marie. Please welcome Anne Marie.
Well, hello there. Hi, everybody. My name is Anne Marie, and I am an addict. It's a little intimidating. Just pretend it's not there. I'm good at that. I always get a little nervous speaking. You know, I've done this plenty of times, not usually for groups this large. And generally, I console myself when I'm sitting up here by looking out and seeing the faces of all the people that I love. But this is a little farther away from my, like, comfort zone. But I am looking around, and I'm seeing some people that I do really know and love, you know, that I've grown relationships with in Narcotics Anonymous. And even if I don't know you, there's something that I share with you, and that I know your pain, and you know mine. You know, and I meditate on my coin, my medallion, every time I speak. And, you know, and last thing I just read was, my gratitude shows when I care and share with others the NA way. And for me, that says it all. You know, I wouldn't be sitting here today if somebody didn't pick up an H&I commitment and come into the detox that I was sitting in at 24 years old. I came into this process when I was 24 years old, and at that time, I was homeless. I had been homeless for a couple years. My family had disowned me. I was unemployable. You know, I was at that terrible point where you know you can't continue living the way you've been living, but you have no idea any other way to live. And I had a moment of sanity, and I picked up the telephone and I called the local hospital and I talked to somebody on the helpline, and thank God for those people that answer those helplines. You know, and I had a conversation with a total stranger who, again, knew my heart. You know, he understood what I was saying, and by the end of the conversation, he said, "Do you think it's just possible, just maybe possible, that you might have a problem with drugs?" You know, and really it never occurred to me before. I knew there was something wrong with me. I just didn't know what, you know. And I actually, you know, living on the streets, it was wintertime. I didn't have a lot of places to go. I used to go to the local library and try to diagnose myself within all the self-help section. And, you know, that didn't work. But, you know, when I talked to this gentleman on the phone and he said, you know, you just might have a problem, and I was open-minded enough to consider that. You know, when I honestly looked at myself and was open-minded enough to possibly consider that just might have something to do with my present situation, you know, things started to change for me. And I said a prayer, and I called a friend, which was really weird that I said a prayer, because at that point I was swearing that I was an atheist. I wasn't, but I was swearing I was. And I called a friend, and I found myself in detox. And I don't really remember a whole lot about detox, except that I was really lucky to get a bed in the rehab afterwards, and there was people that came in and they were carrying the message of Narcotics Anonymous, and they were young people like me, and they were smiling and they were happy, and they were saying, I didn't have to feel this way anymore if I would just be willing to follow a few simple suggestions. And you know, that was good enough for me. I had no other options. I was out of options. You know, my scorecard read zero, and I was willing to follow a couple suggestions, you know. So, you know, I sat up straight and I listened as much as I could and tried to take in as much as I could about the disease of addiction. And at the end of the 28-day program, you know, again, it's wintertime and it's kind of cold and I got no place to go. And they say, you know, Anne-Marie, how far are you willing to go for your recovery? And I say, I'm willing to go to any lengths, because like the good addict, I picked up the lingo real quick. I said, I'm willing to go to any lengths. And they said, that's great. We're going to send you to this facility out in Roxborough, Philadelphia. And I said, oh, hell no, I can't do that. So just that quick, I gave over my will and I took it back, you know. And after a couple of days and realizing I really had no place else to go, off to Philadelphia I went. And that's how I wound up in this part of the woods. I went into that facility. I didn't go in to stop using. I went in to stop hurting, you know, and three hots and a cot. And I was just kind of biding my time until something really personal and something really tragic happened. It was my 75th day clean. And, you know, not many people are really able to say the moment that they surrendered, but I am. you know. And what happened was my mother died on my 75th day clean, and she did not know that I was in recovery at this point. They didn't even know where I was because they hadn't heard from me for a long time because I had stolen lots of money from them. And you know, I read of her death in the obituary, and I wasn't even listed as a member of the family. And I don't say that to, you know, oh, poor me, though I felt that way at the time because it was all about me. I mean, it wasn't about that my mom had just died. It was all about how could they treat me this way, don't they know? And but it was at that moment where that pain kicked in, and I didn't know what to do with it because I had numbed myself for so many years that when that amount, immense amount of pain kicked in, I didn't know how to process it. And I tell you, as sure as I sit here, that I shot up a quick prayer and just said, God, I don't know how to handle this. And at the very moment, this feeling flowed through my body, and I just knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that no matter what happened, as long as I didn't use, I was going to be okay. And you know what? I took that feeling, and I went to a meeting with it. And I went to a meeting where I didn't know anybody. And I raised my hand and I poured out my sad little tale, and it's there that I learned about the love and compassion in Narcotics Anonymous, because these people that were strangers came up and loved me and hugged me and told me it was going to be okay, and I believed them. You know, and when I wasn't sure if I wanted to go back to where I was, they said, oh, you need to go back and we'll take you. And they did, you know, and they led me. And I got back to the facility where I was staying and I decided, you know, I wanted to try working a program. I wanted to try living a new way of life, that just maybe I could find a way to live without drugs. And I was fortunate that, you know, in Roxborough at the time, it was a huge recovery community, and there were meetings on every corner. There was meetings, churches, and bars on every corner. And I hit them all. There was nothing else to do. You know, I was in this facility, and I worked there, and I lived there, and I went to meetings with a group of people. And I, you know, when they say meeting makers make it, I made it. In my first year of recovery, I made a meeting every single night, and I used to make three a day on the weekends because I had nothing else to do. And you know what? I am so glad that I immersed myself in recovery in that first year, because I was told that, you know, every meeting is like a deposit in the bank, and that someday you're going to have to start making withdrawals, and you're going to need all those deposits in the bank. And it was there that I learned, you know, it was there that I learned about, like, the basics of recovery. And for me, the first basic was that I needed to get a sponsor because I didn't know what I was doing. And I picked my first sponsor, who I am forever grateful to. She passed away about 10 years ago, but she was a really loving, kind woman, and I picked her because she was laughing. She was sitting in a meeting, and across the meeting, she had a bunch of women around her. I heard this big belly laugh, and I knew I wanted to learn how to laugh like that because I hadn't laughed for a long time. I hadn't felt anything good for a long time. So I attached myself to this woman at the hip, and I followed her around like I was a little puppy dog. And then she started saying, well, you know, if you want me to sponsor you, you're going to have to start doing some certain things, like call me. And I said, well, you know, I don't have money to use the payphone. We didn't have cell phones back then. I said, I don't have money to use the payphone. So she gave me a roll of quarters and told me to call me, to call her every single day until that roll of quarters was gone. And I said, well, you know, I got to climb like four flights of steps to get to three payphones, and you know, I really don't have a lot to say. I mean, I just talked to you yesterday, and she said, you know what, I don't care, give me the weather report. And that's what I did. I gave her a weather report. It's seasonably cold, see you later. But the thing was, is she was teaching me to make a commitment, to follow through with it, and to get in the habit of picking up that phone, because in case something happened, I needed to know how to pick up that phone and say, I need help. You know, and that was one of the best lessons that she taught me, to reach out and connect to other people and say, I need help. And it's been my experience ever since I've been clean that as long as I'm willing to do that, people are going to show up. You know, it's just kind of my experience and the way it's been. So I went through that facility for a year, and after I got out of there, you know, that whole year was just spent making meetings, following my sponsor around, and trying to live the first step. You know, she told me, don't worry so much about the steps right now. Just try to live that first step. You know that you're powerless. Know that your life is unmanageable and you can't use no matter what. And that's all you need to know. Okay, good enough for me. She kept it simple. And so I got out of that facility, and I I found a little job, and I got a little room, and I started building a little life a day at a time, you know? And life progressed, and life got really good, and life got really, really good. And I fell in love, and I got married, and I bought a house out in the burbs, and had a baby, and things were so, so good, you know? And I was so, so busy, because I was so, so important. And I just got too busy to make meetings anymore, you know? And it's only by the grace of God that I didn't pick up. There was a four-year period that... you know, early in my recovery, we're talking, I'm like 7 or 8 years clean at this point, and early in my recovery, you know, I jumped into this program. I jumped into sponsorship. I jumped into working steps. I jumped into being sponsored and sponsoring other people, being active in a home group, taking on service commitments. And as I got busier, all those things took a back seat. And I can remember Bet, that was my sponsor, telling me, don't let all the good things that NA gave you take NA away from you. And, you know, the farther away I got from a drug, you know, the deafer I got. And, The thing I learned about that was, you know, I am meant to be in the center of the circle, because the more and more that I pulled away from NA, the messier and lonelier my life got, you know, because I was not immersed in Narcotics Anonymous and working a program and how you people being my mirrors for me, you know, I was, my thinking gets messy, you know, my ego takes control and I want, and all those things that pull me away from my higher power. And it's only by the grace of God I didn't pick up. And, you know, the epiphany I had there was I went to a meeting, and I think I had like 11 or 12 years clean, and it was my anniversary. And I went to this meeting, and I was in a room like this, and I didn't know a soul. And I knew that I was screwed, that I would use soon. So I made a commitment to myself that I was going to go back to that meeting every week for a year, and I did. And at the end of that year, everybody knew who I was, and I knew who everybody was, and I was reconnected again. And, you know, it's funny, like, God positions you, you know, and God will give you what you need. My higher power is God, and I hope I don't offend anybody by saying that, but it's my experience that my higher power has positioned me and gives me exactly what I need to get through what I got to get through. And at that point, you know, I needed to be immersed back in Narcotics Anonymous and working a program and be firmly grounded for what was going to happen next in my life, because that husband that I love so much that had 12 years clean picked up, you know, and it was like somebody that pulled the rug out from underneath me. And, recovery was the foundation on which our marriage was built. And it was like all of a sudden the foundation was really rocky. You know, and I was like swaying and I didn't know which way to go. And thank God I was immersed in Narcotics Anonymous, and especially within my home group, because my home group members braced me. They said, whoa, steady. It's okay. Just keep coming. It's going to be okay. Don't use. We got you. You know, and that pulled me through that time. And, you know, it was a really sad situation because, you know, I watched him relapse and not be able to get back. He had the desire. He just couldn't come up with the willingness anymore. And he has subsequently passed away from this disease. And the beautiful thing about Narcotics Anonymous is that because, you know, I've worked a program in my life, you know, when... It was really messy between us at the end there, you know, and at that time, you know, when he was passing away, he called out for me to help, you know, and what an honor it is to help somebody pass from this realm to the next, you know, and what a different experience it was for me from when my mother had passed away, you know, and I wasn't even named in the obituary, you know what I'm saying? And that just kind of taught me a lot. It was like really a life-jarring experience for me. And, you know, that situation has only served to reaffirm my commitment to my recovery and to be here for the addict who still suffers. Because, you know what, I am one of those people that, you know, I one detox, one rehab, and I stayed. You know, so if, you know, I don't say this to brag, I just say it, if this is your first time around, stay. It's possible, stay. you know. And there was a time in my recovery where I might not have had as much compassion for the addict who suffers and goes in and out, you know. But when I saw that up close, when I saw the pain that he went through, not being able to find his way back and being that connected to it, you know, something shifted in me. And, you know, I started looking around at a lot of the other addicts in my life and, you know, the addicts that go in and out. And I have a girlfriend that's always talking about the third tradition. Thank God for the third tradition, that the, you know, the only requirement for membership is the desire. Because I see these addicts that come back in, and thank God they come back in, because I need to hear what they say. I need to hear what their experiences are out there, because that's what keeps me grounded in here. And I have a lot of compassion for them, because every time they come back, I look at their eyes and I can see the disease ate up just a little bit more of their soul, you know, and it's really sad, you know, it's really sad to watch the addict who wants this and just can't seem to get it, you know, and it makes me so grateful that for my seat here. And, you know, I said my gratitude shows when I care and share with others the NA way. You know, I actively stay involved in this program, and I keep my program really simple. I'm not a book quoter, you know. I'm kind of a big personality, but it's like I'm loud, you know what I mean? But I'm not one of those people that, like, you know, I know how this works. Like, I'm not brassy with this program. I keep it really simple. You know, it was taught to me there's five basic pillars of recovery. God. I have a God in my life. I humble myself to God every day. You know, I ask God to show me his will. And on good days, my will is aligned with his. You know, and when that happens, things go really well in my life. I have a sponsor in my life that continues to show me. It's not the same sponsor. I've had a couple different. Building a relationship with a sponsor is difficult, but it's necessary, because I still can't manage my own life by myself. I need to have a mirror. I need to have somebody say, it's a little sketchy thinking, Amory, because, you know, I need to check myself. And she helps me to continue in the step process. I have a home group. I'm really tight with the people in my home group. We have become a family. Spencer here is one of my home group members. We've traveled the world conventions together, members of our home group. We've been through it all together. We've been through deaths, sicknesses, births, grandchildren being abused, like job losses, bankruptcies, you know, and we hold on tight. You know, and I'm glad to go to my home group every Friday night. And by the way, my home group is Go With The Flow group of Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. Friday nights, Phoenixville Hospital, come see us. And so there's God, there's sponsorship, there's a home group, there's step work. You know, the steps are the path for living. They're the thing that taught me, you know. I came in as a 24-year-old not having a clue how to live, you know. I'm a 48-year-old, I'm twice as old now, and I have maybe just a little bit of a clue. So I just keep working those steps, you know, and I get a little bit better every time. And you know what? When I first came in, I first started going through the step process, it was all about the drug. You know, all about the drug. And as I kept going, it became less about the drug and all about me, you know, and the way that I process things. You know, I wasn't convinced I was an addict when I came in. I really wasn't, you know. And then I just kind of had this epiphany, like some things happened, and I realized it didn't matter about the drug. It was all about the way my head processes things, and that I will always look for something external to fill that internal hole. Like, and it doesn't work. The only thing that's ever worked for me is a higher power. So I continue in the step process. I'm involved in helping sponsees through the steps. I also belong to a women's step group. And they're a group of women, eight women that are my peers, and we've been through the steps together a number of times. And then there's service. You know, I have been very involved in service over the last few years, and service to my home group, service to my fellow Narcotics Anonymous members, service to my area. I dabbled in service to region. And my life got really out of control and unbalanced. You know, balance is still the thing I struggle with the most in recovery. You know, and the thing is I'm an addict. When it feels good, I want more. I want more recovery. I like this. I like being part of this group of people. I like living this life, you know, and I want more, and I want to cultivate it, and I want other people to love it. And, you know, I say all the time, if I could unzip my chest and show you my heart and show you what recovery's done for me in my life, you know, I would. If I could just give it to you and you and you that easily, I would, you know, and service is the means by which I do that. But my life did get a little out of balance, and, you know, I thank God I have a sponsor that, you know, says it's okay, step back a little bit and, you know, find new ways to serve. And, you know, right now I'm getting the most rewards out of being at my home group every week and welcoming that person that comes in and not spending all my time talking to my girlfriends or like my other home group members all the time, but looking for that person that has that look on their face that they're scared, you know, that they're scared, that they don't know what to do, you know, and they need a little shot of hope. You know, and I want to be that person that gives people that hope. Because, you know, if you had told me years and years ago that I would still be sitting here, you know, I never would have believed you. Never. But I know that every day that I stay clean is an assurance that my higher power is working in my life and that I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Everything I am and everything I ever hoped to be, I owe to Narcotics Anonymous. And here's the great part. You know, I've achieved a lot in NA. You know, I have a relationship with a higher power who guides me and comforts me and, you know, makes me feel at ease in this world. And I have relationships with others, you know, loving, intimate, caring relationships with others. And I've achieved some goals and dreams. But the best part is I want more. And there, I know there's more. You know, there's no limit to what this program can give me, even though some days I need to be content that recovery itself is the best reward. You know, just staying clean a day at a time has to be the best reward some days. But, you know, the possibilities are endless, and I don't know. I'm not quite sure what's next, but I just know it's good as long as I don't use. And with that, I'll pass it over to Spencer.